Welcome back to Bibliosynensis.
Oh my.
It's been a while.
I don't think it's been a while. You've been busy.
You've been busy.
You've been doing your little unhinged episodes, which this is an unhinged.
You could say it's unhinged.
Well, we don't have our equipment. We're actually in a motel right now.
Yes.
With our puppies. In San Luis Obispo for work reasons.
Yes.
We'll leave it at that.
And you have been busy at Cove.
Yes.
I have been trying to get an episode so that we could actually promote your events at Cove.
Yeah.
And my gosh, this is the only time we actually have had.
I know. My colleagues are all working right now, and...
You finally have a break?
I finally have a break. In fact, we postponed a meeting for one day, so I, actually don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah. You have a breath to take.
I do. And here we are making a Bibliosynensis episode.
Yes.
Ahem. No, but I do miss checking in with everybody, so.
I know that we didn't do recurring episodes last year as well as we should have, or at all.
I think that Bibliosynensis in general has been doing a lot of change, as has T-Spectral.
Yes.
And, I think that's why there wasn't a lot of episodes.
Yeah, yeah. And in entertaining people, we felt that we weren't actually gaining the type of audience that we were expecting.
Right.
You know? I mean, now that COVID is done, or it's subsided...
Yeah, you know, I know a lot of people started podcasts and projects during COVID. But it's funny because Bibliosynensis before then was sort of a love project that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually thought that T-Spectral, as it is now, would be named Bibliosynensis.
Right.
But I just sort of kept the name. And it wasn't until COVID hit and I got to see you more often.
Yeah.
That it clicked. I mean, I've even tried other co-hosts.
Yeah.
Or I tried doing it solo and it just didn't seem right. But I think, obviously, since we're married, also, we've known each other for so long, it's the chemistry that just seems to work.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you. I miss you.
Yeah, I miss you, too. It's funny, because my business partners know that Eugene and I have so much chemistry. They're just like, well, please let us be your third partner in your marriage. Let's tread lightly. But we'll go into Cove a little more later. Going forward, I mean, Bibliosynensis is now the name of our LLC.
Yes.
And I feel like, I don't know, I always felt like I had to try to find the right way to fit the shoe for Bibliosynensis to T-Spectral and vice versa, but... I feel like it's finally all coming together and now they're in harmony. There's no good child, bad child in this relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
Between the two, so, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But what did you want to talk about?
What we're about to actually do this year, to be honest. Yeah. I was actually about to take the back seat this year because I was so exhausted from COVID, you know, only seeing you and then people I work with, and then you again, and then my coworkers, or what you call them, these people I see at work. And
Yeah.
it was driving me nuts.
So just the general nature of Eugene's job is he's a contractor. He doesn't know who he's going to see, but they all know him in the field and they sort of just come and go.
Yeah. But it's still the same nature.
It's
Like,
still the same nature of
I have to be
business.
polite. I have to be nice. I have to say charming things, and people like me for that.
Right.
And then I come to you.
I love how you always get punked from what you tell me that you like introduce yourself to these people and they're like, yeah, we know you. You've
Yeah.
introduced us. We've worked with each other.
Yeah.
Why have you forgotten me?
I'm like, I don't know.
It's
I
like,
kind of see a lot of you.
sorry, I work with a rotation of about 30 of you.
Guys.
Yeah, whereas for me, everything is online and it's a lot of closing deals.
Yes.
Yeah.
And due to that, you've actually been studying further over your own craft.
I guess
So,
the cat's out of the bag.
what bag? I'm just saying, like, you've been practicing a lot, and
Yeah, actually, so today Eugene and I actually went to a olive oil and vinegar tasting, balsamic tasting. And a lot of people think that, oh, you're obsessed with tea and sommelier work is just wine and tea, but it's actually a way broader field than people think. And it's always a pleasure to explore other fields of sommelier work.
Yeah, because I remember I was teasing, like, I think might have been a year prior, last year, about water sommeliers.
Yeah.
And at first I was laughing at that, and now I'm like seeing the full industry since you're like diving into everybody else's work style here.
Yeah, tasting a little bit of everything.
I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was kind of interesting just teaching Eugene how to use his tongue receptors, which is a controversial topic, by the way.
Ooh.
So there is scientific fact that it doesn't exist, that there's parts of your tongue that receive different things, but there's also so there is feedback that it doesn't exist, and then there's feedback that it does exist. So it's kind of weird how that works, but as a sommelier, we still try to train the tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was teaching him like the back receptors are actually sour, which is where you're going to taste your vinegars.
Which I got addicted to because we were there for olive oil and I just couldn't get away
And
from
then
vinegar.
we left with the vinegar. I think the vinegar is the most like obvious in
Yeah.
flavor. I think that's what you enjoyed about it.
Yeah, because like there's no mystery to it. It literally hits you whether you like it or not. Like first it spreads to the like the sides of your tongue and your mouth.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there's like this taste from like the base of your tongue. And then there's a different taste once it hits the throat. And I'm like,
So, yeah, so fun fact about the throat. They say that the reason why the throat holds sour
yeah.
is because most poisons can be sour.
Yes.
And so it's a natural reflex that's been like we've evolved to the back of the throat as like a last resort.
Huh.
If you taste sour,
Right.
then it could be toxic.
Which is actually kind of funny because, like, there are some foods out there that won't taste good unless it has cyanide. It has to be like little
Well,
droplets
yeah,
of it,
but
but.
in general, that's why they say that our receptors for sour are towards the back.
Ah.
Yeah, and also when you're tasting iced teas, the training is you actually taste the full body closer to the back of the throat.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
Because you
interesting.
want the tart aftertaste. Because
Okay.
it's that strongness that you get that is the lingering effect of an iced.
Yes.
Whereas the hot kind of carries it differently. So a lot of people don't know that because they think, oh, iced tea is American and
It is
ha.
inferior.
But it there is actually a technique to tasting iced teas. And it's in the back. It's actually the second finish of the tea when you have iced teas. That is what you're looking for in the palate.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
Anyways, tangent.
tangent, yes. All this dabbling has been fantastic. But yeah, on my end, I got new authors,
Yes, for the publishing house,
and
and I'm one of
it's
them, which we talked about in the prior episode.
I know it's growing, but now the world is awake, and I can't get away with just, the way I've been doing things. And now I have to actually kind of do the traditional way and maybe even open up a bookshop. I don't know, that's kind of painful because bookshops don't make money. Okay, and what's worse is Barnes and Noble is now trying to actually act like, like the small bookstores that we've been trying to support, I've been trying to support. And oh
I'm
my.
getting like Suncoast and like the DVD media store
Oh yeah,
vibes.
like Warehouse and
Sam
all that.
Goody.
Yeah. Like back in like late 90s when they were all closing left and right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm feeling that too. I'm feeling that. 'Cause at this point, does it even matter that I actually support small bookstores anymore if this is where Barnes & Noble is going? Because if that's where Barnes and Nobles is going, then that means bookstores cannot make money at all. Like, the authors make better royalties when they are sold at bookstores, but why rely on bookstores at this point? It's so sad.
Right.
It's terrible. And I feel almost like it's more of a social thing that we all have to kind of come to grips with, So I can keep going. I can keep going. It's a really sad situation, but I think I've come to grips that, I have to watch out for my authors first, then worry about bookstore business later because I don't know if I want to become a treasure hunter or a used bookstore or a slightly used bookstore.
I still think that's a bizarre concept. I mean, it's to me, you either are or you are not, but
Well, I kind of appreciate the word slightly because there are batches and, like stock of books that have never been sold. But obviously, they had to buy it from bookstores, not the publishers themselves. So, what do you call that? Do you call that used books? I don't know. I don't know.
It just reminds me of the industry of fabrics, how vintage became a big resurgence. So now people can order online what's called dead stock. So it's discontinued. However, there's just this like bolt of a certain retro fabric, which was once used for, fast fashion in the day or whatnot, but it never got used.
Yes.
So that's considered a dead stock. So I wonder if, I mean, dead stock doesn't sound great, but
That's
it
basically what it is.
is. It's dead stock pallets
Yeah.
of books.
Yeah. I don't know. I have to contemplate it. I have to strategize. I have to figure it out. Because the last thing I need to do is become T Spectral. Because what you do is a specialty.
Yes.
That makes sense. So obviously, you go to a market and you tell people, I sell tea. But what am I going to do? I'm going to go right ahead and tell them, I sell six books. And that's it. It's like, oh yes, I've worked in New York before. I know what I'm doing. Come on, come on.
You're like, it's all
I'm
good.
not that hipster.
Yeah. That could work for you.
That could, yeah, maybe that could.
Maybe you're doing this all wrong.
I know. Maybe I should be like drinking Pabst and like, telling people that I love cats and we should go eat avocado toast
Toast. I
everywhere.
mean, half of that is not wrong.
Yeah, but is that going to sell a book? Or are we just gonna, end up drinking mimosas and salad for the rest of the night?
Oh, that's Cove.
Well, that's Cove. Do you want to talk about
Okay, where do I begin? So I think I sort of brought it up in the last episode.
No.
Did I not?
No. This is why I've been like, oh, we
Really?
have to talk about this.
I swore I thought I
You didn't
did.
say Cove.
Okay, so things have gone a little more progressive. I'm not just renting a space. I went into partnership and we own a studio now,
Yes.
which is where the kitchen originally is. So not only is there a kitchen, but there are two studios attached, one of them which we built flooring into, which is now a yoga studio.
Huzzah.
And we are trying to combine wellness and arts to create a self-care place, a community center.
Okay.
And my partner Kelly is certified to the nines to be a stretch and flow instructor. She does Pilates. She's worked for a really high clientele.
Yeah.
Which unfortunately I can't disclose, but just know she's worked in a lot of really high-end places.
Okay.
And she really wanted her own studio. And she's also a little creative, which is why she did Hive Market, because she really believes in supporting the small business and the boutique. And we've known each other since COVID, when we started doing markets on and off, but she sees a real importance in tea and hospitality. And so Tea Spectral and me personally have made sure that tea education is a major presence in this new studio.
Right.
So I will be doing the lectures that I used to do on Zoom and for historical societies and hotels, like when I did the Sheraton talk.
Yes.
And I've been doing these, well, a little backtrack. So I've been doing tea lectures for a few years now. Ever since COVID, people were looking for fun things to do for their holiday parties in their businesses, and it went from one thing to another, and they realized obviously a wine tasting online is a horrible idea for a midday holiday party. And that's when the idea of tea lectures came in, and I just thought it was going to be a one and done thing, and I ended up speaking over and over and over again, and the lectures became super popular. Word of mouth went out. Historical societies were calling me, hotels were calling me, and it was really cool. Like, I love the time that I take to do the research, and I love the time that it takes for me to like share.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd be absolutely terrified at the Q&As, but I think they're some of my favorite things about the lectures at the end, is I just let people ask me a ton of questions and I answer them as politely and at the most of my ability.
It's impressive because some of the people actually know some of the things that you know already.
Yeah.
Like, they know the difference between it to say. They know the difference of the different palettes.
Yeah.
And they ask serious questions. Like,
Yeah, that's why I love it, because I think it really pushes my brain and it keeps me fresh in my knowledge. And I think, especially in the tea world, especially online and the community, unfortunately, there's this stigma of needing to know everything and the best of everything, which makes me frustrated because it almost makes people intimidated not to ask anything.
yeah.
So it's kind of cool to have these lectures, and I've worked with a lot of high-end clientele. I mean, that doesn't really mean much, but the only reason why that means something is a lot of them are like wine snobs.
Right.
And they take that knowledge and they pick my brain. And it's so cool to just see some people that are like, I love eating McDonald's every day, and I have no brain in terms of like a palate or choice, to I'm a wine snob and I know what I want and I know my foods, and taking those two types of stereotype in one room and have them question each other
Yeah.
while bombarding me with questions.
Exactly.
But then just almost finding this harmony
Yeah.
of the aha moment, like, wow, I do have stuff to explore through tea, and you can never learn enough about tea. I mean, I'm not the only one that says this, but nobody ever knows everything in the world there is to tea,
Yeah, exactly.
because it has so many traces and journeys, and it's just so cool. It's so fun. But I've only done about three in-persons, I think. Two, no, two in-persons. I have another one booked in June,
Okay.
with another historical society. But I've not been able to do them in person.
Okay.
And with Cove, I can take this experience, and there's a place for you to really explore.
Yeah.
And we're including tea lectures into the wellness programs. In fact, I have one. I'm doing my first one this coming Saturday.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Which I probably should spruce up my notes.
I mean, we should be. I've been wanting so much to just market this stuff. I just know that you guys have been so busy working that I'm not in the circle. I don't know that all the
All
details, okay?
right.
And
Well,
I'm excited about it. I'm so happy for you.
long story short, we're a bunch of tenacious, youthful, young adults,
Women.
women, young women,
It's literally a space with women.
that has been taking their savings and working hard for everything they have in order to make the rent.
Yes.
And I'm not ashamed to admit that, because we've been making it happen because we want it this bad and we think that it's that important. So I'm grateful to be. I tell Kelly, my co-partner in this, all the time, like, you know what? You know I'm smart, you know I'm capable of this, but you're pushing me to the point of scared, and I need that.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful for that tenacity.
Right.
And it's cool to work with people who match your energy of crazy.
Okay.
I'm grateful for that.
So is she more of like an aggressive business partner?
Yes, she is.
Okay.
Yeah, we're both very aggressive people and intense.
Okay, but
But I have more experience,
right.
if that makes sense.
Yes, yeah. But she's the one that's like roaring at the bits.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. That's pretty cool.
So the space is a really old space. It's a dump. It was once a studio to, like, I want to say SoundCloud rappers, some kind of DJ musician thing. The walls were painted black. Smelled like pot walking in.
Okay.
It was a train wreck. I mean, you were there from
Yeah.
time to time, but we had to repaint all the walls. The floors were uneven, so we had to pad the floors, get the wood floor in.
Did you have to like shampoo or anything?
Yeah, we conditioned and deep cleaned all the rugs. I mean, thankfully, one of our part, I wouldn't say partner, but like persons in crime, boyfriend is an auto detailer. He brought all the big guns. We
Okay.
went in,
What of your associates?
associates, we brought in, we brought in auto detailing equipment, and we went ham on that rug about 2 to 3 times.
Wow.
My kitchen is still in question.
Right.
I'm amazed at how the previous tenants were. Like, I was cleaning.
Right.
This one I still can't get over. I was cleaning the sink with the scrub pads that were left, and I was asking, why does it smell like cigarettes? I thought it was paint. They used the scrub pads as cigarette trays, as ashtrays. And I still can't get over that. If you're a smoker, please don't do that. Just, that was the worst surprise ever. So definitely axed that, cleaned everything. We've deep conditioned everything, aired out anything you can think of, sage, candles.
Yeah.
But we've gotten the place completely professionally cleaned
Yeah.
with detailing.
That's insane.
And it's taking a little longer than we'd like, but we've taught our first class in the space. I did, a few weeks ago. I'm doing paint and sip.
Yes, I was there. That was fantastic.
Eugene got so drunk. Everybody got drunk, but it was like a good kind of drunk. Everybody was just jolly and painting, and the paintings came out surprisingly well.
Yeah, a lot of people were actually surprised because they're used to doing paint by number,
I didn't know that.
going to these, paint and sip events at bars. They're at bars, and I'm just like, are you serious? That's it's just a thing. You just kind of start painting, and that's it. You don't learn anything.
So I may or may not have brought one of my prized gins because I needed to break it in.
Right.
Right, and I may or may not have made really delectable smooth gin and tonics with fresh lemon from our trees, and that may or may not have been the reason why everybody was completely shot because they didn't realize that it was the good stuff and it was
Oh no, one
harder.
person knew it was the good
Oh, that
stuff.
was such a funny conversation.
Like she called you out. She's like, "Is a sommelier here?" Like the taste in alcohol and like this mix. Like, who's doing this? So off,
Okay,
yeah,
it was
yes,
the Mammoth Distillery's Floralita.
yes.
Now, the Floralita is a gin that has undernotes of wildflowers, which they claim that they pick and they put in the barrel when they're distilling it. But the barrel is a Portuguese port barrel that they reuse to distill gin,
Oh my
which is why it has that soft pink hue,
God.
because
Okay.
it's actually taking the residuals off of a sweet port from Portugal.
Oh my goodness.
I know, I know.
Shame on you.
Shame on me. And we're up here, and I'm trying to find wineries and stuff to bring more
Oh
down.
my goodness.
What's the name of the Why the distillery is called Shelter.
Okay.
Yeah, if you guys ever are in Mammoth, I know they sell online.
Yeah.
Floralita is actually part of their regular roster. But they're, I forgot what it's called. It's their whiskeys or their bourbons, but they have a set that you can buy and it's three.
Okay.
But it changes every season, so it's like a seasonal yearly bourbon whiskey. I think you've had that at the
It
last flight
was,
when we
yes.
went there on
I had the
vacation.
bottom, like I had the last of their bottom
So they
barrel
just released
stuff.
their new stuff.
Yeah, I remember
And I want
that.
to actually order it. Oh, the things you could write off.
I know, but
Anyways,
I can't deal with alcohol like I used
no,
to.
but yeah, so I learned that the hard way is as much as I want to make tons of really hard tea cocktails is a part of the space. I don't think I should make
Yeah.
nearly as many.
I mean, at this point, I feel like sake would be safer, so at least this way, that way no one would actually have
I
a
do make
hangover.
a really good dragon fruit sake cocktail.
Yeah, and just maybe, I know girls love, red wine, but like, slow down. Like,
Well, we did have Prosecco, however, nobody touched the Prosecco.
why would you
Why
touch the
would they
press?
dare?
Yeah, how could they?
I know, but yeah, we had Prosecco and gin and tonics, but that was such a good time.
Okay. Well, being that,
Yeah.
you're planning for more?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm in charge of the art side for now. So I do the paint and sip.
Yes.
Which I guess a lot of people don't know this about me. I love doing acrylic paint. I
Okay.
know that a lot of people see my watercolor work from time to time, and I love watercolor just because not only is it cheap, but it's easier to store. But I worked on canvases my whole life. I love canvas work. I can't be around it because I literally have a whole garage filled with canvases, and it's hard for me to let go of them. So I've done a many tear up, tear down of canvases, and
Yes.
it just started to break my heart. So I just switched to watercolor. But yeah, I do acrylic work,
Okay.
and I didn't know that people had a hard time learning acrylics until I taught the class. So I teach acrylic paint,
Yeah.
and you can get some tea cocktails or tea, if you're not into alcohol,
Right.
but we offer both. And yeah, I'm also adding the tea lectures.
Okay.
I'm doing the history of tea this coming weekend. On top of that, afterwards, I'm doing a paint and sip.
Right.
And then I do a 4-week tea course, which is teas from around the world.
Yes.
And we try and go into depth over the processings and why teas are the way they are and what regions they specialize in.
Right.
And I tell people that that lecture is mainly for people who love the idea of tea or are looking for an alternative or curious about tea but don't want to buy a ton of tea and
Yeah.
find out that they hate it.
Right.
But it also just refines your palate and grows an appreciation for it.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And then, based on your unhinged episode,
Yes.
you're teaching playwriting.
Ugh. That's the thing that I'm actually impressed by. I know you wanted me to help out. I know that I may have had like one or two persons to be interested in it, but a lot of the people that want to come in want to just do something artistic or physical after work or after class. Because we're nearby Woodland Hills, which is a college town, and we met a lot of college students that just want to feel safe and just do what they do anyways because. I mean, let's just admit it. Like, with Esoterica downstairs, and then we now have Cove upstairs. We like welcome everybody, in all forms of life, and mostly with sexual orientations in their own spectrum. And I don't know if people want to write plays. I think if anything, I may just kind of do a thing where we open, script reading readings.
Yeah, we did leave one of the studios because there's two studios to the space, with carpeting and such, because we figured table reading, acting, podcasting, it'd be better to have that.
It'd be better as a
So,
media room at that
yeah.
point. So, yeah, because relaxation is what they're after. And relaxation doesn't always mean we're gonna be in a nook, we're gonna read a book, and just leave me alone. Like, you go to Starbucks for that, okay? And even at Starbucks, you're now having like all these study groups that are just like talking their heads off. So, yeah. We're not the nerdy crew. That's just the ordeal. We're either the professionals or like the artsy-fartsy guys that just kind of.
Yeah, we're actually also the oldest in the group.
Ugh, that feels weird.
It does feel weird, but I think it's interesting. We literally have several generations working in this space. I think there's like a overall like 20, 25 year
Gap
gap
between all of you
between
guys?
everybody if you go from the eldest to the youngest.
Well, it's ironic because you're able to keep up with the youngest. Shame on you and TikTok.
I don't even watch that much TikTok.
But how do you know so much then?
Because my job is to study trends and to be on social media,
Huzzah.
which is my contractor work on the side, aside from T-Spectral.
Oh, man. Yeah, here I am. I'm still trying to actually catch up with everybody on Facebook over Renfair.
Did Renfair happen already?
Yes, Renfair happened. Everyone's mad.
I'm like, I didn't even know.
Dude, all the beer was like in cans.
I thought that was last year. It's again this year.
I'm pretty sure. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Because we'll see. Because, like, I know everybody is like reopening, and everybody is now like, oh no, I sold all my Renfair clothes during COVID. Are there any stores available? Because a lot of people retired, from like the cup, the clay people that made the wonderful mugs, to like even the swordsmen that would actually, exhibit their training, and literally we're all just kind of figuring out like who's still able to do things. And we may be open to a new generation of Renfair, fair folk. At which, do we need them? Do we?
Well, I know that now that I have more space, which I was joking in a way that I'm like sort of like that divorced kid that has double of everything in separate houses, because I have Cove, and now I have and now I have my home studio, and then I have the shed, the writing shed. So it's, I have space. I plan on getting back into sewing clothes. So we'll see.
We shall see.
I know I have about 8 yards of this gorgeous blue embroidered fabric, and it's like a light denim sort of material. It looks like denim. And I was actually tempted to make something like a Bridgerton Regency gown out of it, but because the material's so casual, kind of adds some modern element, so we'll see.
Oh my goodness.
Ugh.
All the new period movies have like mixed ethnic groups in it. And at first it threw me off, but it's kind of
I
fun.
do love it. I
Yeah.
do love it.
I still haven't seen Persuasion. I'm like, what the fudge?
We can watch it.
Yeah.
I know I've been busy with other things,
We've been
but
working. We have been working
yes, we've been
nonstop,
working,
and it's driving me nuts.
and I love how you picked our vacation, quote unquote, even though it's the job.
Technically, it's my work.
It's your work, it's my vacation, but
Yeah.
you picked it to chat.
Yes, I dragged you here with me because you finally have free time, and madam, I am lonely.
Oh,
I need your friendship.
friendship.
I married you. Now you're gonna suffer and be my companion.
Oh no,
Uh-oh.
please don't take me to beautiful coastal regions.
No, never. I
Ah.
will never have you drink wine and enjoy a crusty piece of delicious Italian morsel.
A
Oh.
crusty Italian morsel.
Dude!
You mean the bread?
Yes, the bread.
Okay.
Okay. We have passed by Solvang. Okay, Danish things everywhere.
Oh my goodness, don't get me started on our recent obsession with bear claws.
Oh, there's like bakeries everywhere. You can't
Yes,
help it.
yes.
You know?
My wallet
I
cries.
mean, now I'm like learning, I'm trying to learn the language just because they actually speak it. Did you know that? They
Didn't
speak
know.
it around town.
Huh?
It's like going to little Tokyo, you know? You like. You say, like you say, hey, which is literally H-E-J, and it's like, okay, I saw that at IKEA. I saw you. But now, like, I have to learn certain sentences to kind of say, like.
No, you know what was endearing for me is going through Solvang and seeing all of the stuff Lindsay and Jonas chat about on It's a Charming Life for
Yeah.
Swedish traditions and just thinking about them.
Okay. Yeah. 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 'Cause
Because
they're.
I will say, like, I don't really talk about our friendship outside of our business,
Right.
but Lindsay, Jonas, and us, we occasionally gift each other pen pal packages.
Yes.
And I do get a lot of Jonas's artwork, and I get some of his crafts, so those paper hearts that he makes for Christmas that they put on the trees.
Yeah.
It's so cute because they still have parts of Solvang that are like 6 feet apart stickers on the floor, but it's those paper hearts. And so I immediately thought about him. And then there's this one place that's a year-round Christmas shop, and they had those hanging in the trees.
Oh my goodness.
So Lindsay and Jonas
Yeah.
totally thought about you guys.
Yeah, there's like there's all this like wooden clock stuff
Yeah, and the horses.
and the horses, and I'm
The
just
Swedish horses, yeah.
like why can't this town stop being cute?
It was so cute.
The
And
whole
the
place is cute.
oh, I have to put a picture of it on Bibliosinensis, but even the fika bakeries had dog fika. And I got some for the dogs.
Our dogs are
They're actually
exhausted.
completely passed out right now.
Yeah.
Despero's at Eugene's feet and Bella is
At a
in the
corner.
corner,
Somewhere.
both passed out
Yeah. They
completely.
have been sniffing everything and
They got to see
anything.
all the dogs, so
Oh my
Solvang is a
gosh.
dog town.
Seriously. Like every shop has like a dog bowl. Oh, it's
They
amazing.
loved it.
Oh, it's amazing.
And you got to see a Schipperke, and
Yeah.
I didn't. I'm so mad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But Bella is part Schipperke, so
Right, and it seems that Schipperkes are way smaller than Bella.
Bella's a roided out Schipperke. She's the
Schipperkes.
buff Schipperke.
Yeah. She's that wrestler girl that says, "I love pink."
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
we have like, a Japanese idol now that sings and acts all kawaii, but she's a wrestler.
That's adorable.
It's amazing. And she's like, I love foreigners. They think I'm sexy.
Okay then.
And yes, madam, we do. I salute thee.
Very cute.
But yeah. It's been nice traveling up here.
Yeah,
I've
it's
never thought I'd be a fan of Central California.
Madonna Inn surprisingly delivered.
Yes.
Their chef salad is so good.
You hear that, Madonna Inn? Sponsor us now.
Sponsor us. We have tea to fill your goblets.
Oh, and your goblets are fun.
Yeah, I actually got one for Xena. Have I talked about my relationship with Xena?
No, your friend? No.
No, so I have a writing buddy, guys. And
Yes.
we write novels together. Like,
Well,
not together, but we keep each other accountable and we meet weekly online.
yes, my deadlines. You're writing for
But
Professor Lorica.
she wrote my foreword, so you guys get to look forward to that.
Yeah.
And she did such a good job. I couldn't have asked for a better foreword.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, first book. So, please be a little forgiving. Her concepts are amazing.
Oh, it's charming. I really like her book.
Yeah. And I've sent like all of our proofreaders to like, take care of it. And they all say the same thing. It's a charming reading.
Well, since all of you know that at one point we met Frank Bedore and I love Frank Bedore's books,
Yes.
it has a similar vibe.
Okay.
I think it's like imagine the Looking Glass Wars, but a younger art audience and more charming.
Yeah,
Yeah.
less epic.
Yeah.
Definitely
But it's
less epic.
lovely. It's a lovely book. And I don't want to give everything away, but Gold Roses have a lot to do with her book, Yellow Roses.
Yeah.
And you guys can all research this, but the Madonna Inn is infamous for their rose chalices, and
Yes.
they come in a variety of colors. So I thought it'd be cute to have my writing buddy have like a golden chalice of roses, because that's like a significant part of her book.
Oh.
And I thought it would keep her inspired, and we do crazy stuff like that all the time. She also lives on the other side of the US. She lives in Tennessee, and we were childhood friends, but she moved, and we've been able to keep in touch on and off. But it's just been a real honor
Yeah.
to write by her side.
That's
So
nice.
it's been really great.
I'm glad.
I hope everyone out there at one point, all the writers, find an accountability writing friend. I don't know, it makes me happy. Like, oh, I'm sorry.
No, go, go, go.
There's this one book I really want. I think I brought it up last time too, is Lewis Stevenson and J.M. Barrie used to be writing buddies.
Stevenson is the one that wrote,
Treasure Island.
yes.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And they finally published their correspondence together. And I
Oh.
just think that's so sweet.
It's so lovely. And speaking of, lovely things about literature, Sherlock Holmes is finally in the public domain.
I
Oh my God! That took
know.
long enough. What happened, Miss Plunkett? Did you
No,
just...
you didn't.
Oh yes, I did. She never responded to me at, requesting for copyrights for her, for her character when I wanted to produce a Sherlock Holmes play.
So, yeah, we have a long history with Sherlock. That's an understatement.
Understatement, madam. Back in the day of Azul Lorica, we basically were just, always bugged by the issue of copyright because obviously early 2000 pirating was, fashionable. We had fan fiction everywhere and the studios didn't know whether it was a good thing or a bad thing. So I tried to be the nice guy and actually do the traditional thing and call up whoever owned a copyright to, the play I wanted to produce. And ironically, the play I wanted to produce was not written by Doyle, but the character of Sherlock Holmes was still under copyright.
It's true.
Oh my God! It went from the Doyle family, which they said it was a curse, and then was given to I think it was a producer who then sold it to an American producer who then married an American socialite, Andrea Plunkett. I'm calling you out. And God knows she's given the studio so much problems over producing the Sherlock Holmes movies with Robert Downey Jr. And whoo, did Hollywood tear her apart? And I do not blame them. Thank you.
Thank you for your
Thank
service.
you for your service. Anyways,
Anyways.
the character copyright has finally ended, and that has got to be like the longest copyright. And I don't think even the Disney copyright rule can actually outdo that.
Yes.
And they will try. I'm pretty sure the Sonny Bono Act, it will be extended as far as possible. But that's only with the American copyrights. So, yeah, you can go into a rabbit hole with that one. Just a toast to Sherlock Holmes
Yes.
finally being free.
We're using our thermal cups.
Yeah,
We
sorry
didn't
guys.
want it.
We're
We didn't want to bring glass or porcelain and have it shatter, even though
yeah.
we do have the lovely Madonna mugs.
I know. We're wonderful. But
But what are you drinking?
we're in wine country. I don't know. I think I have PG2s.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Oh no, we just so to demystify, we don't drink tea spectral tea all the time. So I carry a recycled tin of teas,
Yeah.
like anything we have bagged that has been gifted to us.
Yes.
And that is our travel tea tin set. And occasionally I will also bring other teas.
Of
But
course.
when you can't be bothered,
Yeah.
nothing wrong with that.
No.
So Eugene runs on tips on the
Yes.
go at all the time, double bagged,
Double bagged.
black.
That's a weird thing. I never go for the dark brew that they make in
The extra
PG-Tips.
strong, it has to be double bagged regular.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I think I miss the taste of tea. Because it feels like they're competing against Ahmad tea at that
Like
point.
more of like a robust
Yeah, because like the British love their tea to the point where it's like
builder's brew.
yeah, it has to be brewed to the point where you just can't drink it alone. You need milk, you need sugar. And I'm just like, I miss tasting tea. You know, like PG-Tips is like perfect blend every time. They have tea drinkers that actually make sure it's the perfect blend, and it never tastes the same every year, but it's good. It's fine.
So the one that I always carry with me as my no bother
Yeah.
tea is actually the Republic's double milk oolong.
Okay.
Have you ever had it? Well, yeah, you've
Yes.
had it
Yes, I've had it.
because I carry it as my to-go tea. But the reason why they call it a double milk oolong is milky oolong has a creamy texture and it's a lighter oxidized oolong. I'd say
Ooh.
around 40, 50.
Yeah.
It's a little in the halfway point. But to make sure that it has like a full body umami flavor,
Yes.
they create a powder out of the oolong. So they give you the leaf inside, but then they also add the oolong powder in it.
Right.
So it's you're getting a double hit, like you're getting that light matcha, like intense hit, but it's oolong.
Right.
And then you have the leaf. So for me, I love it because it's just a full-bodied. It's like getting that full-body experience, but for someone who, like me, who loves and prefers like a Taiwanese light oolong,
Right.
when it comes down to like single estate type teas, like non-flavored, it does a job very efficiently all the time, every time.
Right.
And that extra protection with the powdered version makes sure that it is brewed whether your water is shit
Yeah.
and that has to be censored out or if it's not. So that's why I love it.
Right.
It's foolproof regardless of the water quality where you are.
Okay.
Even though as a secret, we do carry our Kangen pH balance water. We carry 2 4 gal no, 2 2-gallon jugs with us
Yeah.
everywhere in the car at all times.
Yes.
So
And for those that don't know what a Kangen water is, it's literally a machine that perfects your pH
and
levels.
it also takes the like nasty gunk out
Yeah.
of your water, like the lead and the whatever's in there,
Whatever.
fluoride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, being that, I know a lot of, a lot of people were asking, where did T Spectral go? And I know we just said Cove, but I think we kind of need to like let people know that we're not permanently closed and we're like back in
No,
action
the
here.
yeah, so it took a while to get the T's because tea in general is just delayed. I
Yeah.
mean, if you follow any of World Tea News, you read all these articles about just the delay in
Yeah.
shipping and imports and everything. So,
Yeah.
it's slower. I mean, usually by February or earlier, like late January, I'll already have Tiki and Silk Ribbon out. You know,
Right.
the spring and summer blends, just because I like to bring them out a little early and give them some time in the market, you know, especially since summer's kind of slow, it kind of helps with that.
Yeah.
But I just got them and it's mid-March.
Whew.
So
I don't blame you because I've dealt with my own problems with Azure Lorica. I mean, our trophies are these broad, like these long medieval swords made of wood, and our manufacturers could barely get the amount that we want because their carvers
They
they
can't.
just couldn't keep up the business at all during COVID. And these guys are like coming from across the world. And I was kind of surprised. I'm like, really? We don't do them here in the US? We have so much wood and you don't have enough carvers here? Like, not for martial arts. Sorry. So these things are like LARP ready. And I tell my people, like, I'm so sorry. We don't have the full stock yet. And I refuse to actually ship things out without the full stock because a lot of these swords I have to mail back because they're not in like good shape.
Yeah,
You
and
know?
also just the frustration. I don't think people see it from your end where you'll spend like close to 100, if not 100, per sword to ship, which, you know, people pay for their entry fee. It's okay. But
Right.
then it gets shipped back to us
Yeah.
for some reason. And it's like and that's like what, 2 months out?
Yeah.
So it'll just appear randomly on our doorstep.
It's like,
And
what?
it's like this poor filmmaker is waiting for the sword for how long?
Yeah.
We thought we shipped it. We had done the best we could, and it
I
comes right back
know.
because of customs, because of COVID.
And oh my God, Italy, what is wrong
And it
with
just
you?
happens way too often. I think we've had issues with Australia. We've had issues with Italy for
Well,
sure.
definitely Italy. Like the only like reliable mailing system they have is the Vatican. You know, if their people strike, they will burn the mail. They don't even like send it back. And I'm like, Oh, come on.
Yeah, so it's something we're still working on, and it's just really frustrating. But we try to make it work.
So with that, thank you guys for your patience. T Spectral is definitely back in action.
Yes, we're stocked again.
Yes, the stock is
Which I
alive.
think we need to mention another reason why we need to be in stock. We are speaking at LitFest.
Yes, May 6th,
Maybe 7th.
maybe 7th.
But for
Definitely the
sure the
Saturday.
6th, and just to keep in the spooky T Spectral theme, we will be speaking at the Altadena
Mausoleum.
Mausoleum.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
That place is cold as ice, guys. I mean, like, it's the best place to be in summer, but ooh, that place is freezing. Bring a jacket just in case. It may be May, but
But we are in close quarters,
very
so.
closed quarters.
It
It's a beautiful place.
really is, and I know they've done a few book lectures out there in the past, and
I know they'll be playing music before we actually go on stage.
that's lovely.
I know. So it might be the sitar player. Like, I know I keep seeing him during the South Pasadena events.
Well, it's going to be an honor to be a part of LitFest. I think the last time we ever participated as in LitFest was Azure Lorica. We did some street performances.
This time we're coming in as T Spectral.
Yes.
So it's not a play. We're not
No,
doing a
but
play.
we will have samples of tea available, and I'm trying to convince the Cove staff to come out.
Yeah, because we'll be doing a live Bibliosynensis episode.
Yes.
So,
So thank you guys for
yeah.
being with us this long. I think we
And,
should get some shut eye.
yeah, it's getting late here. Yeah. Again, work. Love it. Gotta love it. But thank you, Steph, for joining me in such a short notice. And I really hope that we could actually find more time to do more Bibliosynensis
Yes.
because we are active this year, and I did not ask for this.
Neither did I.
Yes.
I literally thought this is the year where I lock myself in my shed and produce lots of books.
I was getting so comfortable with saying, "Oh, it's another COVID year."
Yeah.
Yeah, who are we kidding? Going back inside.
No.
No. People are
No.
done. They're out. They're listening. They're buying. And it would be a mistake to actually leave you guys hanging. So, this is Stephanie Jean
And thank you.
coming back to Bibliosynensis.
Yes. Cheers.
Cheers.
And as for Bella.